in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, our hearts and minds are open to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save, to heal, to deliver, to transform, to upgrade, and to propel our life to the next and higher dimension of glory, to the next and higher dimension of victory. We give you the praise. That which we don't know, teach us. That which we don't see, show us. At the end of the day, let no life remain the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say, welcome in church. Welcome to A People of Dominion Part 2. Hallelujah. We started this very crucial teaching series last week, Sunday. You know, as a ministry, one of our mandates is a dominion mandate. God have called us, God have anointed us to raise a people of glory who will become a living manifestation of God's word in every area of their lives, dominating the systems of this world and taking them over until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of who is Christ. And there are three mandates of our vision: the glory mandate, number one; number two, the word manifestation mandate; number three, the dominion mandate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week, I endeavored to start an extensive introduction. We looked at the meaning of dominion. When God created man in Genesis 1:26 and verse 28, God gave to man the dominion mandate. Glory to God. Bible says, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. And we looked at the meaning of dominion: authority, rulership, controlling influence, government or governance, lordship, supremacy, mastery, to be masters over life, to be in charge, to take charge, to tread down, subjugate, crumble, or prevail against. Then we looked at the basis of our dominion, the basis for our life of dominion in Christ. The first one is a blessing of the Lord. God blessed them and said. So the blessing confers dominion. So the blessing of the Lord imparted upon man at creation empowers man for all-round dominion. The second basis, the Abrahamic covenant. We are the seed of Abraham because we are in Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. So the Abrahamic covenant empowers the seed of Abraham to walk in dominion in all areas of life. Hallelujah. In Genesis 17:6-7, God told Abraham that kings will come out of him. Kings will come out of his loins. Sarah too. according to prophecy, that she's going to begat kings. She will be the mother of many nations. Kings will come out of her womb. Hallelujah. And God promised Abraham that his seed will be as the stars of the heaven. His seed will possess the gate of his enemies. That talks of dominion. That talks of dominion. And that Abrahamic covenant has been fully and finally fulfilled in Christ. And we are in Christ. Hallelujah. The third basis for our life of dominion is our redemption in Christ. By virtue of the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus, by virtue of his substitutionary sacrifice, we have been redeemed to rule and reign on earth. Revelation 1:6. Hallelujah. We are redeemed to reign. Tell your neighbor, you are redeemed to rule and reign. Then the fourth basis is our new birth. As new creation in Christ, we have the life and nature of God. And that life and nature of God, they are supernatural. And they empower us to live a life of all-round dominion. Glory to God. We reign in Christ by Jesus Christ. We have his nature of love, his nature of righteousness. And Romans 5:17, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So according to that Romans 5:17, you need two things to reign in life. Number one, abundance of grace. Number two, the gift of righteousness. And the good news is that both have been made available to us in Christ. Hallelujah. We have the life of God, the indomitable life. It's a life of dominion. Zoe is a life of dominion. That life will dominate sickness. It will dominate poverty. It will dominate lack. It will dominate devils. Am I communicating? It will dominate natural circumstances. The life of God in us is a life of dominion. The nature of God, both the nature of righteousness and the nature of love, they empower us for dominion. Glory to God. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and we rule and reign through him. Hallelujah. Say with me, Christ is my righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says Christ has been made unto us four things there: wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, God has made Christ to be unto me, number one, wisdom. So Christ is my wisdom. I am not foolish. I have the wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is my righteousness. I don't have the righteousness of my own making. I don't have self-righteousness anymore. Christ is my righteousness. I have been made righteous with the same righteousness that Jesus has. Is that not good news? It says, he who knew no sin, God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, almost all the major religions in the world, they are looking for how to be righteous. Are you aware? Through all their religious rituals and dogmas, and all those, the good works they do. They think that by doing all those good works, they will earn God's righteousness. But the Bible says Christ is the solution. All they need to do is to come to Christ, is to be born again. You see why we have to preach the gospel to them? Because this is what they are looking for, how they can become righteous before God. Because they know that nobody can go to heaven that is not righteous. Praise God. Say, Christ is my righteousness. And Christ is my sanctification. And Christ is my redemption. Hallelujah. You see, this verse alone, I can preach a series from it that will last 3 months. No, 4 months. 1 month for each. One month for Christ, my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. Another month, Christ, my righteousness. Another month, Christ, my sanctification. Then the fourth month, Christ, my redemption. I can preach a four-month series from this one verse. You don't believe? You will soon find out. You forgot that I okay, let's move. Praise God. The fifth basis for our life of dominion in Christ is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Listen, the Holy Spirit is the most important gift of God to us in Christ. The Holy Spirit, in fact, the greatest thing God ever did for us in Christ is to give us the Holy Spirit. I hope you know the Holy Spirit is 100% God. It's not one-third God. Him being the third member of the Godhead does not make him less powerful than the Father and the Son. He is co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Son in sovereignty, in authority. Am I communicating? In power. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the Godhead. And the good news is that on the day of Pentecost, God officially sent the Holy Spirit to come and indwell believers in Christ. And our body is his temple today. It says, ye are of God. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children. You hail from God. You originated from God. So he's talking of origin. And have overcome them. Who are the them in that context? Antichrist spirits. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. Are you aware the Holy Spirit is a greater one? Is a greater one in you. So there is nothing to fear. Tell your neighbor, there is nothing to fear. Why? Because the greater one lives in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Our problem is that we are not conscious of his indwelling presence. We are too conscious of everything else on the outside that is against us, to the point that we are not conscious of the Holy Spirit who is in us, who is with us, both his indwelling and abiding presence, and even the Holy Spirit that is upon us, empowering us for ministry. Am I communicating? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Is that not what Prophet Elisha told his servants when the servant was afraid and intimidated by the Syrian host that surrounded them? The angels that are for you, the Holy Spirit that is for you, that is in you, that is with you, far outnumber the demons and the enemies and the things you fear, all the negativities, the problem, everything else. Greater is he that is in you. Doesn't matter the problem you go through. That should be your mentality. Greater is he. Just think of any problem that is troubling you now. Just think of it. Is it money? Just think of any problem, sickness, job, house rent. I just heard house rent. Maybe that's the one bothering somebody. Any, listen, or demons pursuing you. Listen, all the challenges and problems that are bothering you right now, the good news is that the Holy Spirit that is in you is far, far greater than them all. And you can dominate them by the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Is the Spirit of Lordship. The Spirit of Dominion. Glory to God. Then the sixth basis is through the use of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I think it was on GFM yesterday. I thought on the name of Jesus. I think you should be getting those messages. The broadcast has been a blessing to so many with a positive feedback and the glorious testimonies we are receiving. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The name of Jesus contains all authority, contains all power. All power in heaven, on earth, under the earth. So you can walk in dominion in the three realms. How? Through the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The power and authority to live a life of dominion is resident in that name. Am I communicating? The name of Jesus is not a cliche. It's not a mantra. It's not an exclamation mark that you use to express surprise, or you use when you are scared. You know, people are like, "Jeez." Some even do it with style. "Jeez." You know, it has become like an exclamation mark. Somebody see world girl go, "Jesus, Jesus." Bring anointing oil. You know, no. These are wrong use of the name. You see, for the name to work for you, you must use it with understanding. You must have a revelation of the power in that name. Am I communicating? You must have a revelation of the authority and the power that is in that name. First of all, you must know what it means. When we say name, what do we mean? The name of Jesus is talking about the person of Jesus. Name talks about reputation, character, personality. The name of Jesus is talking about the authority of Jesus. Am I communicating? And all authority in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. Under the earth is talking of the underworld, the kingdom of darkness. All of them are subject to that name. When you use that name with revelation, with understanding, sponsored by faith, angels, they respond to that name. They respond swiftly to that name. They respond to the authority of that name. All the 24 elders in heaven, they bow. The beast, all of them, they bow. The saints in heaven, they bow. Am I communicating? It is the highest name on earth, higher than any president, governor, ruler, monarch. All those names, as powerful as their names sound, they are inferior to the name of Jesus. They are subject to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All of the kingdom of darkness, they are subject to the authority in that name. They bow to the authority in the name of Jesus. Satan and all his cohorts, Satan and all his demons, they have no choice. They have no choice than to live when you use that name. I'll never forget the testimony of T.L. Osborne, mighty healing evangelist. God used him mightily. In fact, if you see his crusades across the world, you'll be so inspired. T.L. Osborne narrated the story of somebody. He was just talking about the power and authority in the name of Jesus. He said the person was demon possessed, so he casted out, he commanded the demon to leave the person in the name of Jesus. Then hear what the demon said. He said, we don't want to leave because we like to stay in the body of this person. But because you said so, we have no choice than to leave. I like that. I said they have no choice. They have no choice. Because you are not doing it in your authority. You are doing it in his authority. That's in Jesus' authority. So it's only the demon that can rebel against Jesus that will rebel against your authority. You need to have this understanding. Am I communicating? And then we looked at the dimensions of dominion. Dominion over nature. Dominion over the devil and his demons. Kingdom of darkness, dominion over diseases and sickness, dominion over lack, scarcity, poverty. Hallelujah. That's financial dominion. Then we looked at dominion over fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. See, Satan cannot kill you. You didn't hear me. I said Satan cannot kill you. He can only deceive and trick you until you break spiritual laws that will now authorize him to strike. And one of the ways he does that is through fear. Yes, Job said, "The thing which I greatly fear has come upon me." So tell your neighbor, refuse to function in fear. See, regardless of what you see happening in the physical, let your heart not shake. See, the happenings in the physical, don't allow them to contaminate your faith. It doesn't matter what is happening on the outside. Don't allow those things to impute fear into your heart. Peter began to sink when he was walking on water. Why? Because his focus shifted from Jesus to the winds and the waves that have become boisterous. You see the problem? The moment his faith is focused, because even your faith follows your focus. Your faith is affected by what you are focusing on. The moment you start focusing on thoughts of doubt, worry, all those things, fear, before you know, you start sinking. That was what happened to Peter. Jesus needed to come to his rescue. Then Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" Praise God. It may be a doctor's diagnosis. Before you know, fear. They say they did tests, they saw cancer. The next thing, you cannot sleep again. Fear. The picture of your funeral, you just... Satan is very wicked. The devil is very wicked. They saw one tumor. The next thing is giving you a picture of how they will now put you on that surgery table. They will now cut you open. They will now remove the tumor. You know, you start giving you those pictures. I see the problem is many people, they don't do anything about those things. They don't know how to fight the good fight of faith. You don't know, the moment those pictures start coming, you should know that this is an invitation to warfare. Because if you accept it, it will be established. It will be established. The moment you believe it and accept it, it's as if they brought your death warrant and you signed it. You have to fight. You have to change those pictures. So, you get into the word. Start praying in tongues until Rhema come, light. And use the pictures from God's word, the light of the Rhema that you assess. Am I communicating? That Rhema become your sword. He said, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. And what do you use sword for? To fight. So you use Rhema to fight the good fight of faith. You cut off that tumor, cut off that disease, kill whatever wants to kill you using the sword of God's Rhema. Am I communicating? Hi, you must be a registered fighter to win the war of life. Those thoughts coming to your mind that this is how you will die, you will never marry, you will never have your own children, you will die poor and broke, all those kinds. See, it matters, the transactions that take place in your mind. You see, the mind is a battlefield where spiritual warfare takes place. Never entertain any thought that is contrary to God's word. The moment it comes, immediately eject it. Fight it off. And how do you fight it? Is it by... Listen. When negative thoughts come to your mind, don't try to fight it by trying to think positive thoughts. It doesn't work that way. Should I show you how to fight it? When negative... For instance, if a thought comes that, what if you just have accident and die? Or what if stray bullet just hit you and you die? Or what if this sickness now kill you? When those thoughts come like that to your mind, locate the relevant scripture. That's why you need to be loaded with God's word. If you are ignorant of God's word, it will be hard for you to fight too. I'm telling you, don't be scripture dry. Remove one scripture from the arsenal, the armory of God's word in your spirit. I shall not die but live. Am I communicating? Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Am I communicating? But thanks be unto God, who has given us the victory over hell, over death, over the grave. Rebuke, open your mouth. I'm telling you how to fight. You open your mouth and begin to proclaim the word of God that has the solution to that negative thought that came to your mind. Am I communicating? Open your mouth and begin to declare in faith the word of God that has the solution to this negative thought that came to your mind. Am I communicating? That's how you fight. Then mix it with tongues. Glory to God. I say mix it with tongues. You blast in tongues, you declare it. You blast in tongue, you declare it until you start prophesying it. And it doesn't matter how many times the thought keep coming, you too. If the devil is not tired of bringing it, why should you be tired of extinguishing it? Am I communicating? That is how it works. I remember there was a brother that was with us for a season. He was sharing with me how he almost died in his sleep. Have you heard of people sleep and they die in their sleep? They sleep and they don't wake up. They sleep what we call the sleep of death. As in somebody, it's not that the person was sick. The person was apparently well. I heard the person just slept and did not wake up again. And that's how the person slept and died. The sleep of death. The person was telling me that he slept like that too. He did not wake up for hours. As he started sleeping, imagine you went to bed yesterday night and by this time you are still sleeping. Not you. I'm just giving you an example. That was what happened to him. Some of you know him, but I won't mention his name. He said, "Hi, thank God." He was in a meeting. Then we were still at that College of Accountants. He was in a meeting, and one day he heard me. I was preaching about dominion over the spirit of death, and he heard me quote that scripture, "Oh death," in 1 Corinthians 15, "where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of what? Of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory. Victory over what? Victory over death, over sin, over the grave, over hell. Am I communicating? He said a spirit, a being, was dragging him to somewhere he did not know in his dream, in his sleep. He was sleeping and then he was dreaming that he just saw himself descending into a pit. A being was dragging him to where he does not want to go, but it's as if he had no choice. The force was just pulling him. And then he now heard my voice. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death. The power of sin is the law. And then thanks be unto God. He said a force and power came and displaced that demonic spirit. And boom, he saw himself, pow, ascended. And then he said he came into his body and woke up. And when he looked, it was in the night. It was in the night the following day. He started sleeping since yesterday. That was how he was delivered from the spirit of death. If not, you will have heard that he slept and then he died in his sleep, following a demonic attack, the spirit of death. You see, this word you are hearing, let it not just enter here and come out here. Let it sink into your spirit. Because in the day of trouble, it is the word in your spirit that counts. It is the word that has distilled in your spirit, that has penetrated and entered. That is the one you fight with. Am I communicating? That's the one that will bring you deliverance. That's the one that will bring you healing. That's the one that you engage in warfare with, and then you gain the victory. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Say, I receive light. I receive illumination. I receive transformation. Then the sixth dimension, dominion over sin. Hallelujah. Now, did you notice in the categories of dominion, I didn't mention dominion over a fellow human being. God did not give man dominion over another man. Because man was created in the image and likeness of God with a free will of his own. Even God does not force human beings against their will. Am I communicating? God made man a free moral agent. Praise God. So God did not give us dominion over fellow human beings. Okay? Take note of that. He gave us dominion over all these things I've mentioned. Okay? Dominion over devils, demons, circumstances, nature, natural laws, elements of this world. Dominion over the earth realm. Dominion over storms and all of that. Dominion over sickness, disease, lack, scarcity, poverty, fear, all of that. But he did not give us dominion over a fellow human being. Trying to dominate a fellow human being is witchcraft. You know, one of the hallmarks of witchcraft is what? Manipulation, domination, and control. Anywhere you see these three, witchcraft is at work. Manipulation, domination, and what? Control. They are the hallmark of witchcraft. So if you are trying to dominate a fellow human being, who are you? Let me ask your neighbor. Hope you are not. No, there are no witches in this ministry. I said there are no witches. If a witch comes to AGMI, I swear, they won't survive. Sorry, forgive me for swearing. They won't survive the fire here. Am I communicating? No, even witches, demons have intelligence. No, be everywhere did they go. Now, write this down. Kingdom takeover strategies, in bracket, laws of dominion. Let's explore the laws of dominion. Glory to God. Laws of what? Dominion. God has given us grace to walk in all-round dominion. Romans 5:17. They which receive abundance or overflowing grace. Grace talks of divine ability, divine enablement, supernatural empowerment for us to walk in kingdom dominion. Glory to God. And when we say the kingdom of God, we refer to his presence and his influence. The kingdom of God refers to his presence and his influence. His government, his reign, his rulership. Glory to God. We saw in Psalm 103 verse 19, his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all, including the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. In Isaiah 9 verse 6 and 7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And in the military, where do they put the rank of military officers? On their shoulder. So he's talking of ranking. He's talking of authority. He says Jesus has given his authority to his body. The shoulder is part of the body. He's talking of the body of Christ. He's talking of believers in Christ. Glory to God. So the body of Christ, that the saints, believers, are the envoys of the kingdom realm. We are called and sent to superimpose the kingdom realm over our sphere of contact. We are called, commissioned, anointed, and ordained to superimpose our kingdom life, kingdom culture, kingdom civilization over our sphere of influence. We bring it into our sphere of influence. We bring it into the systems of this world, the seven mountains of influence, dominating them with the life, culture, and civilization of our heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. So what are these laws of dominion? Number one, the light of knowledge. Now you need to understand that the keys of the kingdom are in form of revelation knowledge of the truth. They are in form of knowledge, the keys. Praise God. In Matthew 16 verse 15, look at this. Matthew 16, 15 to 19. It said, Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," or son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates," or the powers or authority of hell, "shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah. Then look at 19. "And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom." Am I communicating? The kingdom that we belong is a kingdom of mystery. The Bible talks about the mysteries of the kingdom. Okay? So if you don't belong to the kingdom of God, you will not understand some of the things that we talk about. You won't understand the operations of the kingdom, because you are not yet initiated. It is not given unto you to know the mysteries. It's only those that are born again. Jesus said, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." There's a kind of revelation knowledge. And this revelation knowledge are the keys of the kingdom. Glory to God. "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." They are keys that control influence in the kingdom. They are keys that control greatness, success, victory, prosperity. They are keys that control the operations of the supernatural, the anointing. They are keys that control every kind of result you can ever think of. They are kingdom keys. Am I communicating? They are keys. He said, "I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." In other words, when you have access to these keys and you use those keys will give you authority. Am I communicating? Keys give you access and authority to the treasures of the kingdom. You gain access to the treasures of the kingdom by means of these keys. Also, when you engage these keys with understanding, they give you authority to walk in dominion. Am I communicating? The keys of the kingdom are in form of revelation knowledge of the truth, an understanding or comprehension of the mysteries of the kingdom. These keys grants you the authority or permission to access and appropriate the treasures of the kingdom, causing you to function in dominion. I take it again. These keys grant you the authority or permission to access and appropriate the treasures of the kingdom, causing you to walk in what? Dominion. Somebody say the light of knowledge. You see, knowledge is light. Ignorance is darkness. As long as you are ignorant, you are in the dark. And when you are in the darkness, you stumble. Am I communicating? You don't even know where you are going. In Hosea 4:6, God lamenting said, my people, a personal pronoun, my people, they are my people, yet they perish. They are my people, yet they are destroyed. Not because I don't love them, not because I've not given them power and authority, not because Satan is that powerful, not because Satan has not been defeated. My people perish for, or because of lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. What you don't know can kill you. What you know can save you. What you know can heal you. What you know can prosper you. What there's a knowledge you can access, it will change your level like night and day. There is a knowledge you will access, your business will move to the next level. It will explode like wildfire. There is a knowledge you will access that will move you from the backside of the wilderness to the forefront. Am I communicating? There is a knowledge. In John chapter 1 verse 5, he said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Glory to God. Nothing empowers like light. I said, nothing empowers like light. You know, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was a period. They call it the Dark Age. How many of you have heard of the Dark Age during church history? It's between the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament part of the Bible, and the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament portion of the Bible. There was a period called Dark Age. Why is it called Dark Age? It was because there was absence of light. The light of revelation, knowledge of the truth, was absent. That was why it is called the Dark Age. Am I communicating? And anywhere there is darkness, Satan will rule, Satan will reign. See, light is so important that the kingdom of God is called the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness is called the kingdom, Satan's kingdom is called the kingdom of what? Darkness. That means Satan rules over those that are in darkness. Once you are in the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of poverty, the darkness of sickness and disease, failure, the darkness of fear, all of that, Satan rules over those that are in darkness. What is the cure for darkness? Introduce light. That's why John 1:5 says, and the light shineth in darkness. And what happened? What happened? What is the opposite of darkness? What is the opposite of light? What is the opposite of light? Darkness is absence of light. It's not the opposite. I just caught some of you now. I said darkness is absence of light, not the opposite. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is a light you will access. The cryptorians and the forexians, those trading forex and crypto, there is a light you will access. Aya, you will start earning in thousands of dollars, in millions of dollars. There is a light that sponsors flight. Am I communicating? Knowledge. He said, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 11:9. A lot of deliverance happens by light. the light of revelation knowledge.
I once made this statement. I said the teaching ministry is the ultimate deliverance ministry. Please write it down. You know, some people don't take teaching seriously. But when you are conducting deliverance and somebody is shouting, the demon then spoke, we are 25. Oh, you now see people watching. Now, wow. Even if they were sleeping, they would wake up. But when you are teaching, some people were sleeping. I beg, when Papa started prophesying, wake me up. You don't know that the ultimate deliverance comes through what? Teaching. Why? Because it will equip you with knowledge, revelation knowledge. This is what transforms. True knowledge shall the just be delivered. The just be delivered from poverty, delivered from demonic harassment, delivered from sickness and disease. True knowledge shall the just be delivered from failure, frustration, from fear. Am I communicating? And then be transported into their inheritance. Even when you are delivered by the anointing, you need deliverance by knowledge to sustain and maintain the deliverance. Am I communicating? So that by the time the demons come back in a counter attack, you will answer them back with light. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Tell your neighbor, learn to value knowledge. Because your sense of value determines the flow of virtue. Second Peter 1 verse 2. You must invest in knowledge. Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. Study the Bible. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. A workman. Hey. Study is work. I say study is work. He said a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't want to be ashamed tomorrow, study today. Go for knowledge. Job said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. And no wonder he became the greatest man in the East. Because of his value for knowledge. He became the richest man, the most influential man, the greatest man in the East. And by implication, in the whole world during his time. Why? Because of his value for knowledge. He said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. Listen, if what you know now is not giving you the result you want, go and know more. Yes, go and know more. Huh? In your field, study, be the best. I'll come to that. Some of you are too lazy. They say, buy book. You say, for where? You say, where is the money? Yet, you have finished 5 shawarma in less than 1 week. Don't eat your future. A wise man say, clothe your brain before you clothe your body. Clothe your brain by investing in knowledge. Second Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Next verse. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. Can you see? God has given us all things. God is not going to give us. He has already given us all things. According as his divine power has given unto us in past tense, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through. Can you see the channel? Through what? The knowledge. Through the knowledge. Without knowledge, without understanding, without this revelation knowledge, you cannot receive and enjoy your inheritance in Christ. He says, these all things that have been given unto us that pertain to life and godliness through the divine power of God, he said, the means, the channel by which we access it is through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Tell your neighbor, go for light. And this light is in two forms. This light of knowledge is both the light of revelation knowledge. That's revelation knowledge of the truth, which is supernatural light. And then relevant, the second one is relevant knowledge in your field or your career. The relevant knowledge you need in your field, this one is natural. The first form of knowledge is supernatural. That's revelation knowledge of the truth. It comes by the unveiling activity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal the revelation. He will reveal it to you. He will give you revelation. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He gives you insight into mysteries and secrets. Daniel 11:32b, for the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. This is talking of revelation knowledge. Am I communicating? It empowers you to walk in dominion. It strengthens you for exploit. Am I communicating? He said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. The reverse is also true. The people that do not know their God shall be weak and shall be exploited. The people that are ignorant about their God shall be weak and shall be exploited by the devil, exploited by this world system. Am I communicating? In Isaiah 60, I like this. It says, arise, shine, from verse 1. Thy light is come. Hey! Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee. Look at the effect, verse 3. The resultant effect, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. There is something you will know that will make people to run to you for solution. Am I communicating? You become so valuable. When you open your mouth to talk, people listen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Gentiles, that's the unsaved non-Jewish world, they will come to your light, and then kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. So you go for light, both the revelation knowledge of the truth, which is supernatural light, and the relevant knowledge in your field. Are you a doctor? Be the best in your field. Are you an engineer? Be the best. Are you a fashion designer? Be the best. Invest in knowledge in your field. How many top, in fact, who are the best brand in your field? How much do you know? And that's why I tell people, make sure you read autobiographies of great and successful people in your field. In your field. If you want to be the best, learn from the best. Am I communicating? Don't settle for mediocrity. Reject every form of ignorance. Glory to God. Every king is raised by another king. You see people like Alexander the Great. If you read his story, his father trained him under people like Socrates. Is it Socrates or no? What's the name of this philosopher? Aristotle. Aristotle was among the people the father trained him under, so that he will learn about the philosophies of life and the laws of life. He was being trained under military generals on one side. Then on the other side, Aristotle was tutoring him, teaching him about life. Am I communicating? No wonder he went on to do exploits. You read about his exploit, his conquest. That was the man that defeated the Medo-Persian Empire. And Greece became world power under him. Am I communicating? Knowledge.
Job 36 verse 3. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. Job 36 verse 3. Hallelujah. He said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. Anywhere the knowledge is. Thank God, technology has made it easy for us to access knowledge. Abi, what are you doing with your Google search engine? What are you doing with YouTube? What are you doing with the internet? Why don't you use it as a tool to acquire knowledge for personal growth and development? Am I communicating? I will fetch my knowledge from afar. Let me tell you, nobody invest richly in knowledge. Buy books, read books. Good and relevant books in your field. In your field. You cannot do well or excel or be among the best when you are lazy. You are too lazy. You are not diligent. It doesn't work that way. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not before mere men. I remember as a medical student, you know, I was paid scholarship money one time because I was a beneficiary of scholarship. So there was a time they paid me scholarship one particular year. I carried all the money straight to bookshop. I bought books with all the money. Books. All the money finished on books. That particular money. What you are enjoying today is part of the byproduct of those books I read. No, I'm telling you the truth. You must invest in knowledge. Your life does not change by chance. It changes by choice. Listen, if the knowledge you have now is the same knowledge you had last year, you will get the same result. You will get last year result this year again. If you want a different result and outcome, then invest in knowledge. Be a friend of bookstores. Good ones, though. Because some of you, the only book you read is romance books and novels. I always say, if I visit your house, my number one attraction is your library. Not even your big flat screen TV. The first one I'm interested in, does this person have a functional library? And if you don't have a library, you are not doing well. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, invest in knowledge. Even think of it. One day I sat down after I graduated from medical school. I looked at all the books I read to be a doctor. Oh boy, come see textbooks. We have medical people in the house. You understand? Imagine all the textbooks from 100 level to 600 level. Where is Dr. Shicks? Am I communicating? I say all this just to be a doctor. What makes you think you can excel in your field when you don't read? Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. He says, study. The thing will not enter your brain by osmosis. Study. It will enter by diffusion. Study. If you don't study, you will not know. 2 Timothy 2:17. It says, study to show yourself approved. Study to get your certificate of approval from God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Is it even to be a good preacher, to be a good teacher, to rightly divide the word of truth, you need to study. Or else you will be yarning okpata. Our people say they yarn okpata. Praise God. The light of revelation knowledge. And then relevant knowledge in your field.
The light of knowledge brings about spiritual and mental transformation. The light of knowledge brings about what? Spiritual and mental transformation. Romans 12 verse 2. It says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind brings about supernatural transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all beholding as in the mirror the glory of God are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. This is very important. We are currently living in what they call the information age, right? What characterizes the information age? Abundance of what? Knowledge, explosion. In fact, it is said that the knowledge doubling rate is like 3 to 6 months now. That means every 3 to 6 months, knowledge doubles in almost any field. Glory to God. So you need to go for current knowledge, updated knowledge. That's why even doctors go for update trainings. There's this thing they call continuous medical education, CME. Why did they introduce that? Because knowledge keeps pouring in every day. So you need to know the current ways that things are done. Even pilots, they do this, they do similar thing. As in, the fact that you flew plane last year does not mean you are equipped and qualified to fly plane this year. You need to go for those update training. Am I communicating? So you go for current, updated, relevant knowledge, information, powers, transformation. I say information, powers, transformation. And only thoroughly transformed people can walk in dominion. So invest in knowledge. Invest lavishly in your mental development. Read books, apply them. Some people read books. Okay, three categories. There are those that don't buy books at all because they don't value knowledge. That is bad. Then there are those that buy the books but they don't read them. That is bad. Then there are those that read the books but don't apply them. That is worse. All the three are going to end up with the same result. So, what is the wisdom there? Buy the books, read the books, study them, then apply the things you learned. Am I communicating? This is how your life gets transformed. Invest in mental transformation. Invest in your growth through your commitment to continuous learning, reading, studying. There should be a book you are reading every week. If I ask you now, which book are you reading this week? Some of you are asking, which book? Yes. Which book are you reading right now? Oh, you think your life will change? Sleeping, waking up every day, sleeping. It doesn't work that way. You need to set goals. And part of your goal setting, you should have books you are reading. Hi, there was a time I was not happy with my finances. I was working in Cooking Hospital, Mangu, that time. I was struggling too much financially. I was in debt. You know, I said, what is this? And I was a doctor. I got angry. I entered Living Faith bookshop one day. I bought like 10 books. I sat, if I, one of the books, this was how I sat down. I read it from page 1 till, I was reading it with hunger and anger combined. As in my finances, how can I be so, I was angry. I'm telling you, I think it was Breaking Financial Hardship by Bishop Oyedepo. I sat like this. I did not get, my bum was paining me. I said, that one can wait. I did not get up until I finished that book. Some of the books had 200 and something page. Discipline yourself to read. Am I communicating? Are you not tired of where you are now? Your next level depends on light. The light you assess and engage with understanding. You can read your way out of poverty. I say you can read your way out of poverty. Go for light. You say you want to marry. What do you know about marriage? How many books have you read on marriage? You say, ah, Papa, where is even the money to buy a book? You are not serious. The truth is that you are not serious. You are praying every day, Father, remember me this year. Remember, just like you remember Anna, remember Esther, remember me. God is asking, my daughter, are you ready for God is checking. You are not ready. You have refused to invest in knowledge, to be a good wife material, to be a good husband material. So that, in fact, God is even saving you from the people, so that you don't become a liability. You are not ready. How can you enter marriage? And that is when you want to start preparing for marriage. No, you start preparing during your days of singleness. Am I communicating? When you are still a single, that's the best time you start preparing. It is better to be a single preparing for marriage than to be married and be praying to be a single again. I knew how many books I read before I got married. And I had no doubt that my marriage will work, must be sweet. It's not assumption. Because some people are funny. They think a good marriage is by luck. Somebody even say luck is an acronym. It means laboring under correct knowledge. There is a knowledge that powers luck. So you can study and read your way to be lucky. Oh, you didn't get it. Let me move. Read books. Listen to messages. Get materials. Subscribe to mentorship. Glory to God. Daniel 9:2. Daniel said, I understood by books. Daniel was a student of prophecy. He was studious as a prophet. He said, I understood by books the number of years according to the prophecy Jeremiah gave, that the children of Israel will be in captivity for 70 years. He understood by books. And then he said, I set my face to start praying and fasting for the activation of that prophecy, for its fulfillment. Praise God. In Acts chapter 7 verse 22, the Bible says, Acts 7:22, Moses was learned. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses, and Egypt is a type of the world. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And you know, civilization began from Egypt. Egypt was the then world power. Moses was learned in all their wisdom. In other words, Moses was a highly knowledgeable person. He was not ignorant. He was not dumb. Am I communicating? Go for knowledge. Both the revelation knowledge of the truth and what? Relevant knowledge in your field. What is your calling? What is your assignment? What is your purpose? Where are you going in life? Then get knowledge in that area. Know where you belong and then invest in knowledge. Are you called to the world of media? What do you know about media? Are you called to the world of music? What do you know about music? You see, you need to study. Glory to God. This is very important. Now, take note of the following concerning light. Number one, light gives vision. Light gives vision or sight. Vision is a function of light. You cannot see without light. Glory to God. So light gives vision. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 7. It says light is sweet. It is a beautiful thing to behold the sun. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, light is sweet. Darkness is not sweet. Oh, light is what? Sweet. Proverbs 15:30, he said, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Oh, I love this. Is there a connection between the eyes and the heart? Yes. The light of the eyes causes your heart to rejoice. Glory to God. There is a light you will see that even though right now you don't have money in your account or in your pocket, you are drinking garri without sugar, there is a light you will access in that realm of prosperity that will make you drink your garri and sugar rejoicing in your heart, because you know that this is a billionaire in dollars. So you are enjoying the garri now while the offer lasts. Because your eyes is seeing something others are not seeing. Am I communicating? People may even be pitying for you right now, but there's something you are seeing they are not seeing. So you are not pitying for yourself. I say you are not pitying for yourself. In Genesis 13 verse 14, God told Abraham after Lot was separated from him. He said, lift up your eyes and look what? Northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, for I will give it unto thee. Hallelujah. And Abraham saw the whole world. Notice God did not say, for all the land which I show you are yours. Did you notice that? Is it all the land which thou seest? That's visionary power. Are you seeing that? He didn't say all the land that I'm showing you. He said the one which you see I have given. Glory to God. And we say light gives vision. Have you meditated on God's word to the point that pictures are produced in your heart? Pictures are painted in your heart. You start seeing pictures of what the word is talking about. You start seeing visions. Am I communicating? Visions born out of God's word, of God's plan and purpose for your life. Vision concerning the future. Learn to do that. Meditate until you see. Tell your neighbor, meditate until you assess light, and that light gives you vision in accordance with God's word. Number two, light fuels faith. Light is a fuel for faith. Faith is a function of the light of revelation, knowledge of the truth that you see and engage with understanding. I take it again. Faith is a function of the light of the revelation, knowledge of the truth that you see and engage with understanding. Glory to God. So light is a fuel for faith. Faith is rooted in revelation, knowledge of the truth. What you hear but don't understand cannot give you faith. Faith comes from the revealed word. Faith is a byproduct of revelation. Am I communicating? The rhema of God. Glory to God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, sponsored by light, empowers you to walk in kingdom dominion. Hebrews 11:32. It talks about those heroes of faith that did exploit. And their faith was sponsored by light. Light. The light of revelation. What more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophet. Next verse. He said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Hallelujah. Next verse. They quenched the violence of fire. Can you see this exploit that they did? Glory to God. He said, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, they turned to flight the armies of the alien. And then he said, women received their dead back to life. You see, these exploits were sponsored by faith in their heart. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Faith is fueled by light, the light of revelation. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the faith of God, sponsored by light, will empower you to walk in kingdom dominion. Then the next thing, the third thing about light, I want you to take note is that light imparts might. Light imparts might. Might talks of strength or power. Strength and power. Light imparts might to fight and for flight. You need might to fight. You need strength and power to fight and win the war of life. You need light that imparts might to fight and light that imparts might for your flight. Isaiah 60 verse 1. It says, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then Isaiah 60 verse 8. It says, who are these that fly? Who are these that fly? What is empowering them to fly? Somebody say light. Light imparts might that empowers you for your flight to a world of dominion. I say light imparts might that empowers you for a flight to a world of dominion. Glory to God. Then the fifth point I want you to note concerning light is that light causes you to shine. I say light causes you to shine. Shining talks of influence. That even takes us to the next law. We'll come to that. Light causes you to shine spontaneously and effortlessly. In Isaiah 60 verse 1 we read earlier, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. It says, see, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Can you shout amen? In John 1:5, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 5:35, John the Baptist, look at his testimony. For he was a burning and a shining light, and men were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. May this generation of men rejoice in your light. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Glory to God. He said, you are the light of the world. Say with me, I'm the light of the world. And then in verse 16, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. The second law of dominion is what we call influence. The law of influence. Kai. This one is powerful. The law of influence. Isaiah 2 verse 1 to 3. The word of the Lord which Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last day that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. In the top of the mountains. That's dominion. And shall be exalted above the hills. And watch this. All nations shall flow unto it. Why? Because it's going to be a highly influential church. Influence becomes the magnet, the power of influence. That's what is making all nations to flow to the end time church. Glory to God. It's a church of great influence. Micah 4:1-2 talks about the same thing. Glory to God. And in Genesis 12 verse 2, God told Abraham, I will make your name great. You see, I will make your name great. Success and greatness are powerful tool for advancing and establishing the kingdom of God. That's why it matters your personal success. It matters a great deal to the kingdom. When you become successful and great, you will mentor others into the kingdom. You will influence them. Because with success comes influence. With greatness comes influence. Am I communicating? Affluence and influence, they are powerful weapons for rapid and speedy kingdom advancement and establishment in the earth realm. People emulate and follow successful people in every area of life. People emulate and follow great people. They follow their example. Bishop Oyedepo said, nothing commands mentorship like success. Glory to God. Say with me, I refuse to be a failure. Because nobody wants to be like a failure. You have the power of influence. And God wants you to use that influence to pull many, to bring multitude into the kingdom. You earn the right to lead others through your influence. Leadership in one word is influence. So it is God's grand design that the end time church should be the leader of the world. In other words, we are to be influencers of men. Am I communicating? We use the power of influence to bring them into the kingdom. Leadership is influence. When we are a people of influence, a people of dominion is talking of a people of influence. We lead, the world follows. Say with me, we lead. We take the lead in every field, and the world follows our example. That's why he calls us the light of the world. One of the meaning of light is influence. Light means influence. Light means leadership. Glory to God. And influence is subtle and powerful. It is subtle but very powerful. Why are many youths dressing like this secular hip-hop artist? Somebody say influence. Why are they doing the kind of hairstyle that Burna Boy is doing? Somebody say influence. Influence can be subtle but very powerful. We need more kingdom role models that are very influencer, that are influencers to rise. That's why I said, refuse to be a failure. Be the best. Be on top of your game. Be the best in your field. Because the kingdom of God needs that success. Needs you to be that influential for kingdom advancement. Glory to God. This is important. You must become decisive and deliberate about being the best in your field. If you are a keyboardist, be the best possible keyboardist. Are you aware that the 3% of the world population that are very influential are the one controlling the 97% of the world population? That's the power of influence. Be extremely good at what you do. Be too good to be ignored. Become too good to be ignored. Hallelujah. Must be intentional. What is influence? Influence simply means the ability to make others to buy into your ideology by inspiring them. Or you can put it this way. Influence also means the ability to alter or affect or change people's mindset, belief system, thoughts, attitudes, and action. The ability to affect people's thinking, their thought pattern, their mindset, the ability to alter, to change their mentality. Am I communicating? And that will lead to a change in their behavior and action. That's influence. Glory to God. Fame talks of temporary influence, but greatness talks about timeless influence. Greatness is different from fame. Genesis 12 verse 2, God told Abraham, I will make your name great. There's a difference between fame and greatness. Fame is simply temporary influence. There were people that were famous some years back, 20, 50 years back, but they are no longer famous. True or false? They are no longer famous. But there are some great names in the Bible that till today, they are still influential. In church history, there are some names that till today, they are dead though. Some of them are in heaven. But their influence is timeless. Am I communicating? So greatness talks of timeless influence. is transgenerational, their influence. Enduring significance. Enduring or timeless relevance. That's talking of greatness. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Hallelujah. God wants you to be great for the sake of the kingdom. God doesn't want you to be small. God doesn't want you to die as a nobody or as a nonentity. Become too big to be ignored. I say become too big. Praise God. Because influence is a powerful weapon. Don't you see that even in the secular world, companies, organizations and all of that, when they are looking for, when they want to do advert, is it everybody, anybody that they just choose to do advert for them? No. They look for people with influence. They look for influencers to become their brand ambassadors. Am I communicating? So you will see picture, you will see advert of Okocha playing football. JJ Okocha, and then you now carry Pepsi and drink. What's the connection between Okocha and Pepsi? God, they understand that he has influence in the world of football. So now they are now leveraging on his influence to advertise Pepsi. Check all the people they use for advert. Is it non-entities? No, they look for people that have influence. The world understand this. It's church people that they are still yet to catch up. How long shall we be playing catch up? Let me ask your neighbor, how long shall we be playing catch up? Praise God. I told you, in every field we have the best and the rest. Choose to be among the best. Be in the top 1% in your field. Start by being in the first top 10%. Then from the top 10%, move to the top 1%. You cannot be a failure when you are in the top 1% in your field. Talk of the best, they are there. Am I communicating? Let's look at scriptural examples of influencers, people with influence in the Bible. Example, Joseph. In Genesis 45, 5 to 7, Joseph used his position of influence as the prime minister of Egypt, the then world power, to preserve God's people and the nations of the world from perishing from during that 7 years of famine. Am I communicating? That ravaged the whole world. Through the wisdom of God, Joseph came up with a 14-year agro-economic plan that salvaged the world. He used his position of influence. Am I communicating? Another person is Joseph of Arimathea. You read about him in Luke 23, 50 to 53. Luke 23, verse 50 to 53. Joseph of Arimathea. Also John 19, 38 to 42. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy and influential disciple of Jesus. He was a man of affluence and influence. He was a honorable counselor who used his position and influence to preserve the body of Christ. And he supported the cause of the kingdom. He was a kingdom man. Hallelujah. Men and women of influence are necessary to advance, promote, preserve, and defend the gospel of the kingdom in all its ramification. We need more Joseph of Arimathea to arise. You know, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, when he talked about the suffering Messiah, among the prophecies, he said he shall make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his deaths. It took a man of influence called Joseph of Arimathea for that prophecy of Isaiah concerning Jesus making his grave with the wicked on one end, then with the rich on the other end. For that prophecy, the B part, to be fulfilled, it required Joseph of Arimathea, a man of affluence and influence. Because he was the one that went to Pilate and demanded for the body of Jesus. And then because of his influence, Pilate gave him the body. And then he went and he built a new sepulcher. Am I communicating? Brand new. And then put the body of Jesus inside, thereby fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah.
You know, there are some prophecies that will not be fulfilled until people of influence arise in the kingdom. Are you aware? We need men and women of influence. God needs you to be very influential. I will come to the pillars of influence. I'll round up with it so that you see how you gain influence. Glory to God. The third example is Gamaliel. You read about Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5, verse 33 to 39. Acts 5, 33 to 39. Gamaliel was a very erudite scholar and influential doctor of the law who trained and tutored Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel used his influence to defend the cause of Christ. He used his influence to defend the cause of the gospel in the council meeting where they took counsel to slay Apostle Peter and John. They wanted to kill them. Gamaliel stood up in that meeting. He said, "Leave these people alone." Oh. He said, "If it is not of God, it will come to naught." And he gave example of two people that led the movement and it fizzled out. He said, "But if this thing you people are trying to fight is of God," say, "you are wasting your time." Imagine if we didn't have somebody like that there, they will have took counsel to kill Peter and John. Am I communicating? We need people of influence everywhere. We need them in the White House. We need them in Aso Rock. We need them in the House of Assembly. We need them in the local government. We need them at state level. We need them in every office. People that will defend the cause of the kingdom. Anytime they want, the spirit of the Antichrist comes upon some people and they are trying to pass and legislate laws against the kingdom, we need people of influence to arise to defend the gospel and the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. May God make you a global influencer. May God make you a kingdom influencer. So use your God-given influence to promote, propagate, preserve, and defend the cause of the kingdom. The fourth example is Queen Esther. In Esther 4:13 to 16, Queen Esther used her position as an influence as the queen of the Persian Empire. And the Persian Empire as at then was the then world power. She used her position as a queen to defend and preserve God's covenant people, the Jews. She defended and preserved the cause of God's kingdom. If not for Queen Esther and Mordecai, what will have happened? Haman will have annihilated all the Jews in the kingdom. But thank God for people like Esther. She knew that God had brought her into the kingdom for such a time as this. Are you aware God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this? Am I communicating? Another example is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These were people of influence. Am I communicating? Isaac became so great and influential. Genesis 26 verse 12. He sowed in that same year. He reaped hundredfold. The Lord blessed him. Next verse. Watch this. And the man waxed great. And he went forward. He grew until he became very great. Next verse. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants. And the Philistine envied him. Enviable prosperity and greatness. He was so influential that the whole nation came and signed peace treaty with him. Can you imagine? He himself became bigger than the Philistine nation. Am I communicating? This is the will of God. King David, another example, was a very influential figure. What about King Solomon? It was so great that all the kingdoms round about were under tribute. He had dominion everywhere. Am I communicating? The Queen of Sheba came all the way from Ethiopia to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Somebody say influence. The Bible says all the kings of the earth, they sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom of God through his mouth.
The wisdom God has put in his heart expressed through his mouth. Glory to God. He was a very influential king. Daniel was another man of influence in Babylon. Others were in captivity. Daniel was in authority. He had so much influence. God gave him wisdom. God gave him favor. Am I communicating? He was a very influential figure. In the realm of politics and governance, Daniel was a great influencer. He lived through Nebuchadnezzar. He worked with Nebuchadnezzar. He worked with Belteshazzar. He worked with Darius. He worked with Cyrus. Four kings. Daniel remained relevant. That was how influential he was. Glory to God. What about the Ethiopian eunuch? In Acts chapter 8 verse 26 to 40. The Ethiopian eunuch was a man of great authority, who was a custodian of the treasures of the Ethiopian queen. God directed evangelist Philip after a mighty citywide evangelistic crusade in Samaria. God directed him to go and preach the gospel to only one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, who was returning to his country. He came to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning inside the chariot. He was reading the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Messiah. And then the Spirit of God spoke to Philip, "Join yourself to this chariot." Glory to God. Was a man of great influence. Why do you think the Spirit of God led Philip to preach to him? Because God knows that he needs people of influence to spread the gospel. So that was a target that must not be missed. Can you imagine? So that evangelistic crusade Philip held, that multitude attended and got saved, is as important to God as the salvation of one influential man called the Ethiopian eunuch. Because we need people of great influence that will play a very strategic and key role in kingdom advancement. And hope you know that it was that Ethiopian eunuch, after he got saved and baptized, that took the gospel for the first time to Africa. Ethiopia is where? Ethiopia is where? Which country is Ethiopia? Africa. This was the first person that brought the gospel to Africa. And Bible history tells us that there were mega churches in Ethiopia. Praise God. The next person is Cornelius. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a Roman centurion, a Roman officer of the Italian band. He was a man of great influence. God needed to speak to Apostle Peter to go and preach to Cornelius. Why? Because of his strategic position of influence, which is necessary for kingdom advancement. Look at this. An entire chapter of the Bible, the whole of Acts chapter 10, an entire chapter was written to tell the account of the salvation of only one man called Cornelius. Eh? Why? Because the salvation of that one man is very important to the spread of the kingdom, to the spread of the gospel. He was a very strategic and important figure for the Bible to use a whole chapter. Ah, even when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the multitude that heard, 3,000 that heard, their hearts were pricked, they got born again, they got converted and were baptized. It's just like 2-3 verses that talked about just 3,000, only 2-3 verses. But a whole chapter was devoted to talk about the salvation of one man because of his position of influence. Influence is very powerful. Imagine if Michael Jackson was a preacher. Imagine the kind of influence he had. The king of hip-hop. Am I communicating? Imagine if Messi and Ronaldo start preaching the gospel. They will win more souls than all our crusades. So. Somebody say the power of influence.
What about King Cyrus? Oh, listen, influence is so important to God that God can even use unbelievers with the required influence to fulfill his will. Is that serious? Why didn't God give that dream Pharaoh had? Why didn't he give it to other people? The dream concerning 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance, why was it Pharaoh that God gave it to? Have you ever thought of, why didn't God give it to Jacob? Because only Pharaoh had the influence and the means. That was why God gave. Because God knows that this famine will affect everybody in the world. And Egypt was the then world power. And Pharaoh was the most influential man on earth. The most wealthy, the most influential. That was why God gave him the dream. Because God needed that his influence to help the world. And then God now sent Joseph to help him with wisdom. Are you seeing something? God can use even unbelievers like Cyrus and Pharaoh, etc., who have the required level of influence to perform his will, to execute his counsel, his plans and purposes, and fulfill certain prophecies. I hope you know, it was King Cyrus, a very wealthy, powerful and influential king, that God used to build his temple. Are you aware? Look at it. Isaiah 45 verse 13. God said, I have anointed you. If you start reading 1 to 3, he said, thus said the Lord, to Cyrus is anointed. God anointed him, an 18 king, to loose the loins of king. And then he said, I will go before you, break in pieces the gate of brass, the bars of iron and all of that. God helped him to conquer Nebuchadnezzar. God helped him to conquer Babylon. And then verse 13, Isaiah 45, 13, he said, he shall build my kingdom, my temple. He shall build my temple. God used him to build his temple. And he was an unbeliever. In scripture and throughout history, God has always used people of influence for strategic kingdom advancement. We must anchor evangelism to influential persons this end time to reach out to the largest number of people on earth. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I round up with this. What are the pillars of influence? Number one, the pillars of influence. Number one, growth and transformation. I've talked about this. Growth and transformation. You must invest in your personal growth and transformation. I've talked about the importance of renewing your mind. Romans 12 verse 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Use the word of God to renew your mind. Go for education, enlightenment. Am I communicating? Be equipped with knowledge. Be transformed into a new and a different person by the exposure to the relevant knowledge, the acquisition of the relevant fact and information, and then you engage them with understanding. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 2 verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and men. Growth and transformation. Work on being, not on having. Because with who you are, you will have. One of the best statements from T.L. Osborne is a work on being. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you to become. Am I communicating? Growth and transformation. So you study, you go for knowledge, you subscribe to mentorship, training, adequate training for your growth and for your transformation. Glory to God. Both mental growth and transformation and spiritual growth and transformation. That is how you become a person of influence. Glory to God. Readers today are leaders tomorrow. I say readers today are leaders tomorrow. So you must have zero tolerance for ignorance. I say have zero tolerance for ignorance. The second pillar of influence is value and productivity.
You must be make up your mind to be a highly valuable person. Success is a reward for being a valuable person. Success and greatness and wealth and all of that is a reward for value. Value and productivity. Work on yourself. Add value to your life so that you can become valuable to others. Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift shall make a way for him and bring him before what? Great men. Hope you know money is a reward for value too. So whatever you are doing, make sure you are dispensing value. That's how you gain influence. Glory to God. When people listen to you, do you dispense value? When people use your product and service as a business person, do they get value in turn for their money? Or you just wasted their time? Praise God. You must become valuable. A man's gift. What is your gift? Have you discovered your gift? There is nobody without a gift. I say there is nobody without a gift. So everybody has a chance. Everybody has equal chance for success. Everybody has equal chance to succeed. How? Discover your gift. After discovering your gift, what do? Develop your gift. Develop it through training. Develop it. Am I communicating? After developing your gift, refine it. Refine it. After that, next, deploy your gift. Put it into productive use. Deploy it. First of all, invest in the generosity market. That's use it to solve problem. Use it to provide solution to human problem. Use it to meet human needs. Am I communicating? First of all, do it free of charge. Then after investing in the generosity market, then start charging people for it. Okay, that means let it gain commercial value. Am I communicating? Look at these comedians making money. What is bringing them money? Sabinus. His gift. Making people laugh for a living. The guy is a millionaire. Gift. Look at them, brain jotter. A man that sang a song. Is it the power of influence? A man sang a song. Is it Mike Eja or something? This Gwogwo challenge. Very yeye song. The dance is yeye. I don't know the meaning of the song. This man sang this song in the, is it 70s or 80s? Help me now. Long ago, he said, brain jotter said his father used to play that song when he was small. Anytime they are traveling, he used to be angry when he even hears the song. But now that he has become a person of influence, he said he now heard the song again. He now said, Kai, I can do something from this song. That was how he invented that dance challenge for the song. And guess what? Bam! Because of the influence, everybody started doing the same. You see why I said influence is very powerful. When Mike sang, the original owner of the song, when he sang it, people were not doing that dance challenge. But when a man of influence, brain jotter, did, people started doing it. To the point that they said it became number one on what, Steph? Is it on Twitter or something? I forgot. It was trendy as number one. Look for your gift. There is something you know how to do better than others. The problem with many of you is that you are struggling to be like somebody else. When you struggle to be like somebody else, at best you'll be number two. Because that is already taken. Everybody else is already taken. The world is waiting for your uniqueness, your unique gift. There is a unique grace on your life that the world is waiting for. The world doesn't want to hear others through you. They want to hear you with your uniqueness. There is a way you are going to preach this gospel in a way that others have not preached it. The world wants to hear that one. Am I communicating? I will never forget the story of Fela Durotoye. He said he was a solid student of Miles Monroe. Oh, he had read so many Miles Monroe's books. So he was preparing for a seminar in OAU those days, him and his friend and all of that. So he did the first session. In that first session, he was just downloading the things that he got from Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe. He was even talking like Miles Monroe. He was just downloading. And then, after that first session, they went on break. He now asked his friend, he said, how was the first session? The friend then looked, he said, Kai, he said, fella. He said, that was not you. He said, he was giving honest feedback. He said, that was not you. He said, the person I saw preaching was Miles Monroe. Then the friend now gave him the advice that changed his life. He said, these people did not gather to hear Miles Monroe through you. They gathered to listen to you. There is a message you have for them. He said, fella, this second session after the break, do something. Oh, he said, that statement. You know, see, mentors can inspire you, but be yourself. Draw inspiration from others. Learn from others. Read, study, listen to others, but be yourself. Am I communicating? The world wants to benefit from your uniqueness, your unique gift, your unique grace. He said when he came after that first session, after the break, he said he threw away his notes. He said he threw it away. He started speaking from his heart. And guess what? That second session was far more impactful. People were just clapping at the end. Why? Because he spoke with originality and authenticity. And it was the same Miles Monroe that said, imitation is limitation. You were born an original. Don't die a photocopy. God is a creator, not a duplicating or photocopying machine. Am I communicating? Discover your gift. Develop your gift. Deploy your gift. Duplicate it. Build systems and structures around it. Joseph used his gift to interpret the dream of the king's butler and baker when he was in the prison. He didn't charge anybody for it. He did it free of charge. He sold into generosity market. And guess what? The harvest came. When did the harvest come? When Pharaoh had a dream over 3 years later and nobody could interpret the dream, suddenly the king's butler remembered. Oh, you remember, I said there was this guy that interpreted my dream and that of the baker when we were in prison, and it was perfect. He said, that guy, let's go and bring him. He will interpret this dream. And they brought him. He interpreted for Pharaoh. This time around, look at the reward. Pharaoh made him prime minister. He became the lord over the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh put golden chain on his neck. He gave him a signet ring. And Pharaoh gave him a wife. He gave him a wife all just by using his gift. Eh? Value and productivity. Katabarakataya. Jesus said in John 15 verse 8, he says, you should bear much fruit. He says, so shall ye be my disciple. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit. So that's talking of productivity, fruitfulness. It glorifies God. Let me tell you, neighbor, be fruitful and be productive, because it will glorify God. And it's a sign that you are a disciple of Jesus. So one of the hallmarks of discipleship is what? Fruitfulness. You should produce results after the order of Jesus. Christianity is not an excuse for failure. Christianity is not a license for mediocrity. Am I communicating? Herein is my Father glorified. When you fail? No. He said when you bear much fruit, be productive. Produce something that the world can reward you for. Produce something. Why are African nations called underdeveloped countries? Because they consume more than they produce, right? The nations that are called poor, why are they called poor? Because they what? They consume more than they produce. The developed countries, why are they developed? They produce what? More than they consume. True or false? This G7 nation, G8 nation, G820, Nigeria is not part of them, or G20. We are not part of G7. We are not part of G8. We are not even part of G20. Why? Because we are primarily a consumer nation. At a point, Nigeria was even importing toothpick. Toothpick. At a point, we were even importing chicken. Don't we have chicken in Nigeria? It's very annoying. They will make something in Aba, they will put made in China, made in Germany, because we don't believe in ourselves. Even you are part of the problem. You are even part of the reason why they put made in China and Switzerland, because they know if they put made in Nigeria, you will not buy. Hey, they say made in Germany. I like that one. Meanwhile, now Aba they produce them. Federal Republic of Aba, United States of Aba, USA. It was made in US. USA, United States of what? Aba. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to be productive. Our currency is weak because we import a lot. We consume too much. And as long as it is like that, the economy will be weak. We must promote productivity and creativity. That culture, glory to God. Value. When they were looking for, okay, let me take the third point. Number three, the third pillar of influence is wisdom and excellence. Wisdom and what? Excellence. Wisdom and excellence. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Concerning Daniel, one of Daniel's secrets of influence is that he had an excellent spirit. Daniel 6 verse 3, the Bible said, the king appointed him among those three presidents. Okay, Daniel was preferred above the three presidents and all the others because he had an excellent spirit. Excellence is key to prominence. Excellence is key. Is very key to eminence, prominence, and promotion. When you are extremely good at what you do, when you are excellent, people forget about your gender. They forget about your tribe. They forget about... Am I communicating? Be the person that can deliver the goods. Some of you say you know how to do hair. You have hair making saloon. You have burnt people's hair. And people now have alopecia. Alopecia areata, occipitalis, frontalis, because of you. And you are wondering why customers are not coming. You say you make cake. The last one they say you should do for somebody's wedding. The salt was too much. That is how you ruin somebody's wedding. And you wonder why people are not patronizing your cake. You are not excellent. Too excellent cake. Package it well. Package it. There are some cake, if you see the packaging itself, even this... You've not tasted it, though. Just the packaging alone, you're already salivating. It must be nice. But look at the way you do your own. This side, the icing is just like a draw soup. Which kind of thing you are doing? You say you know how to barb. You know how to barb. You know how to barb. That is how somebody almost beat you up because you spoiled his hair. Tell him, I beg, be excellent. Do everything with that spirit of excellence. Proverbs 22:29. Look at this. Proverbs 22:29. This is how you gain influence. Oh, I'm telling you. Wisdom and excellence. Says that a man diligent in his business. So diligence is key to excellence. Pay attention to details. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Now give me an amplified. Amplify the message translation. Glory to God. Say, I receive grace to be excellent in all that I do. Because excellence is a manifestation of the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is also the spirit of excellence. It makes you excellent. He said, do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He won't stand before obscure men. Message translation now. He said, observe. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. No, stop. Some of you are sleeping. 1, 2, 3, go. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Are you skillful? Are you excellent? This is very important. I read about how Michael Jackson will put hours upon hours into training before every major concert. That's why his doctors needed to be injecting him with sleeping propofol. This anesthetic. You see it white like milk like that. They needed to be giving him so that he can sleep. Because sleep will go away from his eyes once he's preparing for a concert. He can train for 8 hours. See, in fact, there was a time they say he was practicing for 14 hours per day before a major concert. He couldn't sleep. The doctor needed to be giving him propofol. Unfortunately, that was even what killed him. Am I communicating? He knew the importance of diligence, training. Some of you say, play keyboard. It's only on Sunday that you play it. So, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no training, no practice, no nothing, no growth plan, no nothing, no practice, no. Sunday to Sunday. And that's why you keep playing the same thing for us that is substandard. You just see, is it not keyboard? Just boom, 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 boom. How can you be excellent that way? You don't practice, no any growth plan. The same thing with drum, is it not to hit this side? See, church people, we don't take this thing serious. See, the people of the world that we are even abusing, do you know those guys are excellent at what they do? Go and check. They are very, very hardworking. They put in hours. I read about Michael Jackson. No, sorry, not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, this basketball guy, one of the legends in basketball, one of the greatest basketballers of all time. Michael Jordan practices throwing. Is he over 1,000 shots per day? As in, he will be trying to throw. He will practice 1,000 shots per day. 1,000 shots. And you think that he will fail when it comes to the field? Somebody say practice. Somebody say training. Somebody say diligence. When they were looking for a skillful player of harp that will help King Saul, who was tormented by an evil spirit, who did they recommend? David. Why did they recommend him? He was very good. He was excellent. He was a skillful player. If he was not excellent, would he have been recommended? The law of recommendation will work for you if you are excellent at what you do. Because excellence is self-advertising. If I'm wearing this cloth I'm wearing, is it not excellent? Is it not excellent? In fact, there was somebody that saw some of my clothes. He said, Kai, he said, I like your clothes too. Who is your fashion designer? I had to refer them to Pastor Mafeng. And that was how a doctor, that's how Pastor Marvin had a new customer. You see, that's how it works. If he was sewing rags, if it was just anyhow work, the law of recommendation will not work. Because me, I will not recommend you to somebody if you are not excellent. Because you go for my hand. It's my own reputation too that is at stake. Am I communicating? Be excellent at your work, the way you do your job. As a doctor, don't go and do surgery and forget pad inside people's stomach. Because we've seen cases like that. They did CS for a woman and then they forgot gauze. Until it became a legal matter. Some even forgot artery forceps. You know, the stress was so much. Sleep was in my eye. I've not slept since morning. Be excellent. Eh? Be excellent. Dress excellently. You know, one of the things I like my wife, she's an excellent person. In fact, that's one of the things that attracted me to her. She was excellent. Sharp, neat, you understand? Some of you never even bath. Hi. See. Dirtiness is terrible, oh. Uncleanliness. It's bad for a guy to be dirty, but it's worse for a lady to be dirty. Worse. Am I communicating? They come to your house. The kitchen. See the sink. Unwashed plate for the past 1 week is still there. It has become culture medium. Algae and fungi, they have grown there. Eh? The whole place is just like, look at your bathroom, look at your toilet. If you want to know somebody that is clean, that is neat, when you go to the house, don't check the parlor. Enter bathroom. Enter kitchen. If the person passes these two tests, then the person is really a neat person. Be excellent. Praise God. I say be excellent. He said, no man is asking for my hand in marriage. When you are dressing like my grandmother, what do you expect? Your hair, you will not do it. Your clothes, all of them are dirty, looking like rags. And you don't know men are attracted by what they see? So that's why nobody is asking, because you are not dressing attractive. I didn't say seductive. There's a difference between dressing attractive and dressing what? Seductive. I'm not saying you should go and dress like all these people of the world. Don't dress naked and all those rubbish. But look good. Look attractive. Am I communicating? Smell good. Brush your teeth. Oh. People don't want me to finish my message. Later they will now say it's a demon that is stopping me from getting married. It's not a demon. It's not a demon. A lady went to a man of God for deliverance. That at my age, no man is asking me. For the past 10 years, she complained. Say, I have prayed, I have fasted. The man of God waited for her to finish. The man of God said, even as you are talking to me now, if I was not married, I will not come near you. Because I'm already seeing your problem. You don't dress well. You don't look well. You don't. Even as I'm speaking to you as a father, oh, as you are talking to me right now, you are even smelling. I'm telling you in love. You understand? These are the things. Little foxes that what? Spoil the vine. Work on them. Be excellent. Excellence is a language. Then the fourth pillar, wealth and abundance. Wealth is not a bad word, though. Deuteronomy 8:8, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Zechariah 1:17, cry out saying that through prosperity my cities shall what? Be spread abroad. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord it is that maketh rich, and he added what? No sorrow. You don't talk about dominion without wealth. All the G7 nations are in G7 because of their strong economies. Am I communicating? Nigeria is not there because our economy is not that strong. Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor. The rich anything will rule over the poor anything. The rich ruleth over the poor. Say, I refuse to be poor. Listen, prosperity is beyond just meeting your need. Wealth, kingdom wealth and all of that. It's beyond your need. Oh, listen. Go beyond self. Think in terms of kingdom. The advancement of God's kingdom require serious amount of money. It is capital intensive. Preaching the gospel, kingdom advancement is serious money is involved. Serious money. Now, if believers are broke, it's going to negatively impact the spread of the gospel. And Satan likes it that way, because it's going to frustrate kingdom agenda when the church is poor. So we need to weaponize kingdom financial prosperity. When we talk about kingdom wealth, see it as a weapon. Am I communicating? Listen, even Satan is advancing his kingdom using money. Am I lying? Using money. I was talking with Dr. Ghana in UK recently. He was telling me how Islam is spreading in UK like wildfire. And one of the major weapons they are using is money. Money. They are even buying up churches and turn it into mosque. Money. They will buy church. People will buy church, convert it to nightclub because the church cannot pay. Wealth is a very important weapon to spread the gospel. Crusades require plenty money. Even this GICC we are talking about requires money. Am I communicating? We are on Avalanche of Good News broadcast. Look at all the lives that have been transformed. Look at the, even Muslims have gotten saved through Avalanche of Good News broadcast. People have gotten healed. People have gotten delivered. People have been, their lives have been changed. But are they giving us free of charge the airtime? No, it's money that is involved. So, let me tell you, neighbor, it takes money to spread the gospel. Kingdom advancement is highly capital intensive. So this is why you should not be poor. Because the voice of a poor church is not heard. The voice of a poor preacher is not heard. It takes wealth to it takes affluence and influence to give you the necessary platform to present the gospel in an unmatchable dimension for it to be heard and heeded. Am I communicating? This is very important. So when people hear of prosperity message, they mistake it for materialism. They are not the same. I've taught you before. There's a big difference between kingdom financial prosperity and materialism. Materialism is sponsored by Mammon. But kingdom financial prosperity, as the name implies, kingdom what? Financial prosperity. The purpose is kingdom. Am I communicating? For us, it is money with a mission. It is prosperity with a purpose. What is the purpose? What is the mission? Kingdom what? Advancement. Spreading the gospel, advancing and establishing the kingdom. First in the hearts of men, and then across territories and every sphere, strata of society. Am I communicating? So we need to see it as a weapon. We need to see it as a weapon. Your prosperity, say with me, in the name of Jesus, I choose to be very rich and very wealthy for the sake of the gospel. God wants you to prosper because of his love, but God needs you to prosper because of the gospel of the kingdom. Did you hear what I said? God wants you to prosper because he loves you. No father wishes poverty for his children. But God needs you. He needs you to prosper financially for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of his kingdom, because that kingdom advancement project requires resources. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The last key, the supernatural. Acts 1:8. The last pillar of influence. What is the first one? Let's do a recap. First pillar of influence, growth and transformation. Number 2, value and productivity. Number 3, wisdom and excellence. Number 4, wealth and abundance. Number 5, the supernatural. Influence has a deep spiritual root. Influence has a deep spiritual root. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The power of the Holy Ghost makes you a kingdom influencer. Am I communicating? In Psalm 66 verse 3, it says, say unto God, how terrible are thou in thy works, for through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies what? Submit themselves. It takes power to compel the submission of the enemy to you. Verse 7, that same Psalm 66 verse 7, it says, God ruleth by his power forever. Aya. God ruleth. This is very important. God ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So as a believer, you deploy the weaponry of the supernatural. The supernatural is one of the weapons in our arsenal to be a strategic kingdom advancer. Rise to your feet. The power of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. It says, Christ, the wisdom of God, and Christ, the power of God. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of him spread abroad. Am I communicating? The supernatural is a major key to influence. When we pray, we fast, we activate the anointing, we activate the power of God. And it is a major key to influence for us to advance the kingdom of God. It takes power to extend the frontiers of the kingdom. It takes power to crush demonic opposition. I want you to lift up your voice. Kalido Brande Kepalatia. You see, the end time church is a church of influence. A people of dominion are a people of influence. And we looked at two laws of kingdom influence. We looked at two laws of dominion. The two laws of dominion we looked at today is, number one, the light of knowledge. Then number two, influence. And we said there are five pillars of influence. Number one, growth and transformation. Number two, value and productivity. Number three, wisdom and excellence. Number four, wealth and abundance. Number five, the supernatural. Now lift up your voice. Say, Father, I receive grace to assess everything I just heard. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. The grace to assess light. The light of revelation, knowledge of the truth. He said, open thou my eyes, O God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. The light of knowledge in your field. The grace to invest in your mental development, in your mental growth, in your spiritual growth, development and transformation. The grace, oh yes, for influence. The grace to take the lead in your field. The grace for competence and excellence. The grace, Mandabaya, to be successful, to be great, to become a person of influence. The grace to to be a person of value, the grace for productivity, the grace to be fruitful. When God blessed man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. The grace for diligence.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-65-302610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.